We've had some great conference calls here in the last few months with some incredible leaders like Brad Lominick and just some great people, Mark Batterson. And today we are just thrilled to have Doug Jurasik with us. He's one of our newest Church Boom coaches, and he's running an amazing ministry out in Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio, a multi-site, growing very, very fast. I've had an opportunity to speak there a couple times, and an amazing ministry, and he's an incredible leader. And today we have an opportunity to hear him talk a little bit about giving and creating generosity in the church. And I know some of you have some millennials, some of you don't, some of you may be older congregation, but either way, just talking about the subject of generosity, Doug's doing an amazing job talking about that. So he's going to talk for a little bit. If you've never been on our call, he'll talk for about 20, 25 minutes. Then we'll just open it up to some Q&A. Some of you have submitted some questions, so I'll field most of those questions. There might be a couple of you that come on live. We'll open up if you've requested for that or communicated to us, but I'll be fielding those questions and handling those. So with that, I am going to turn it over to Doug Jurasik from Ohio. Doug, it's great to have you on the call, and thanks so much for being a part of this today.
Well, thanks, Chris. Man, first of all, I just want to say I'm so honored. I love Church Boom. If you're on the call and you're not on Church Boom yet, you don't know what you're missing. Chris not only has helped me personally, but my campus pastors. He's helped my staff. I mean, just talking about getting knee-deep in strategy and vision and pulling it all together. Chris is so sensational at it. So thank you, my friend, for even having me come on today. So I want to talk a little bit about generosity. I want to talk a lot about strategy when it comes to giving. I think the church does an incredible job of building strategy to help people get from point A to point B in their journey. And for the most part, we don't do a very good job of building strategy on how to get them from point A of not giving to becoming fully surrendered givers to Christ with their generosity. If you're in this for results, I'll promise you they probably won't come. You've got to be in it for the right reasons. You've got to desire from the heart of God to see people come fully alive in their giving. Jesus, we know this for all of us pastors, but Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven, hell, and love combined. This doesn't mean that I want you to get out there and preach money every single week on a weekend. If anything, I would challenge you to think of your weekend differently. If your weekend was built the way Jesus built his ministry, your weekend would be the front door where you're going to get a lot of people who don't know God to come in. I don't necessarily think that's the strongest place to go deep into money talks. I believe, as we're going to talk about it, you got to take them in a funnel, and you got to kind of, as they want to join your church, really start having some good conversations about generosity. So today, I really want to encourage you to make sure your heart's in the right place. It's great to have goals. It's great to want to break barriers and keep bringing in more money to reach more people for the kingdom. But ultimately, my heart is not to make more money. My heart is to see people fully surrender their lives, and I include that to be their time, their talent, and their treasure to Jesus. So they might not have a lot, or they might have a lot. Ultimately, we want to see them be fully surrendered. So the journey of talking about money today is about finding how to help people become fully surrendered in their giving. And so I want to encourage you, come from that vantage point. Don't come from, well, my church budget is low and I want it to increase, or we want to make more money, or we want to bring in larger revenue. Come from the standpoint of, I want to help people break the curse of poverty that wants to hold their life back. And allow God, because we know where their treasure is where their heart is. So I want to encourage you with that. I want you to be thinking from that viewpoint of what I'm about to explain to you. I believe what I'm going to explain to you is systematic and easy to do. When I say easy, it's easy to get the concept, but it's pretty challenging, and it's going to require some effort for you to really make it work. But anything great requires some effort. And so let me back up a little bit. A few years ago, we were about 1,200 in attendance, but our offering looked like we were a church of about 500. We just were not hitting on the level of generosity that we should have been hitting. And what it was doing, it was crippling me out of my heart. These consumers, very few contributors. This might be something you might want to even write down and say, how many people are consuming versus how many people are contributing? Our big win is getting people to go from consumers to contributors in our family. And so, about 2 years ago, we were stuck. We just, hitting on the right cylinders when it came to giving. And I didn't want to preach more about it on the weekend. I didn't want to feel like I have to preach it from a Sunday morning platform, where I believe my Sunday morning platform is to help the lost find Jesus and those that are far from God to come home. Now, I don't have a problem with us talking about it occasionally, but I just didn't want it every time we were down financially just to give another money talk. I wanted God to help me through His Spirit, give me a systematic approach on how to help people go from potential givers, which means they have never given before, but they're coming to church, to being extravagant givers. That means they give more than 10%. You know, Chris says a line, and I steal it all the time, that 10% is obedience, 11% is extravagant. And so my challenge was, how do we get people to go from not giving at all, but they come to church, so potentially they could give to God, to becoming fully surrendered or extravagant givers? And so we developed something called the Giving Ladder. You might have heard this term at other places. I don't know if everyone's version of the Giving Ladder is the same as ours. I'll just give you our version. What I do is I'll preach this maybe one time a semester, so probably 3 or 4 times a year, one-off message. And I will talk about the importance of generosity, and I will teach our church from a weekend platform how to become an extravagant giver. And I'll pull out a ladder. And on the ladder, I will, on each ring, I will put from potential giver is the first step. You're in church today. You're a potential giver. But we know at the top of the ladder is where God's blessing is and where He wants us to live generously. So for you to become generous, you've got to go up the ladder one step at a time. So for many people, they're potential givers. They're actually giving nothing. And I hope you have some sort of system, either through Fellowship One. I personally like Planning Center. One of these type of systems that you could use that helps you audit what your people are really giving, that you can have quick access to information. So we'll find that there was 1 out of 4 people not giving at all at our church. So we targeted, hey, you're a potential giver. Potentially you could give something, but it's time to take your next step on the ladder and become an occasional giver. So the second step on a ladder from potential is occasional. And an occasional giver is someone who is willing to contribute when they show up. That's not high investment. That's not commitment. Commitment's not in an occasional giver. But they will give when they come to church. You know, you'll see it. They show up once a month, you might get a once a month gift. They show up once every 3 months, you'll get a once every 3 months gift. They're not thinking about God or His kingdom too much outside of the times they're in church. So the second step of a giving ladder is an occasional giver. The third step of a giving ladder is they become a regular giver. This is percentage based. It's not 10% yet, but it's somewhere under 10%. Could be 1, 2, 5, 8, whatever the percentage is, but they're not yet tithing, which biblical standard is 10%. So we challenge, and here's the sweet, this is the sweet spot. We challenge people to sign up for automated giving. You might not think if you have older people they'll do it. I promise you they will. Millennials will absolutely do it. Anyone under 40 doesn't think twice about automated giving because they're used to a lot of bill pay that way. I'm surprised, and I want to encourage you, many people over 40 also will do this, and because it's becoming a normalcy of society. I'm not teaching you something that's abnormal to what you see in the world around you. It's just a little abnormal for people to think of it with church. But we believe that God should get our money first. So the way that you absolutely know you do that is by automated giving, because now nothing comes out before that if you set it up with your pay periods. So I want to encourage you, get people on automated giving. Even if they're not tithing, it will make a huge difference. So the sweet spot for us to challenge anybody to really get going on a successful giving pattern is to become a regular giver, step 3, and we really believe the best way to hold yourself accountable to do that is automated giving. Step 4 is becoming a tither, which is 10%, and then step 5, the final step on the giving ladder, is an extravagant giver, which is anything above 10%. Now, let me camp in on automated giving for a little bit, because this will be the game changer of your church if you do it. Now, many of us have that option, but I don't think many of us are really pushing it as a strong system on how to do giving. We don't mind if you text to give. We don't mind if you do an envelope or do a check. but we tend to not focus on a clear strategy on how to do automated giving. This was the big thing 2 years ago that we started focusing on learning, and 8 months ago we started making it a kind of a non-negotiable to join our family. Every one of us has a growth track or a membership class that we offer people to go to. Here's where the rubber meets the road for us, and I want to tell you, hundreds of people have done this. When you sign up to join our family, join our church, you cannot get processed to finalize your application unless you are willing to commit to three things. Number one, that you're going to attend weekly. Now, when I say attend weekly, we understand not everyone's going to come every single week. But because there's graduation parties, there's vacation, there's kids getting sick last minute. But if you wake up on a Sunday morning and you look at your spouse and say, should we go to church today? You shouldn't join our family, because that's a heart issue. You should want to be in church if you're going to – look, when my mom and dad have a party at their house, we don't think – my wife and I, we don't think, should we go or not? It's a family party. You go to family parties. Well, every Sunday at our church is a family party. So if you're going to join our family, I expect and believe that you're going to want to attend weekly. That's the first step, to join our family. The second thing that we're going to ask you in this application process is if you're going to serve monthly. In a given month, let's take the month of July, we expect you to serve at least one time. We prefer you to serve twice, at the most three, never four. This is very common practice in most of our churches. So, but if you can't commit to serving once a month, you're not willing to help serve and participate with the family, it probably isn't a fit for you. We don't need you just to have a membership so you can say you have a membership. We need you to contribute to the vision that God has put in our hearts to reach more people for our community. The final thing we ask you to do if you're going to join our family, first, come weekly, serve monthly, and then the final thing is give regularly. Here's the kicker. Everybody agrees with the principle of giving regularly. Very few people that want to join your church will disagree with the idea that they should give. But what we did, and this is what we did 8 months ago, we started getting ready 2 years ago, and we did it 8 months ago, and it's been a game changer, is we started saying, unless you have 6 months of consistent giving, okay, that means we can prove 6 months you've given every single month, at least one time a month. If you can't prove that, which most new families can't prove that, we have to have you sign up for automated giving first to prove to us that you can be a consistent giver right off the bat to join our family. Now, when we were conceptualizing this, there was a strong fear that people were going to push the application back and say, no, thank you. We were blown away that in our membership class, out of 200 new members that we have taken on in the last 8 months, these are members, these are people who have joined our church, 200 new ones, 196 of them signed up for automated giving. Blown away. Now, what we discovered was that as we taught the giving ladder, and we also then retaught it in the membership class, people were hearing it from multiple perspectives. From me on the platform once a semester teaching the giving ladder, and then if they took our monthly membership class, they would find themselves getting the same talk through a different perspective, more of kind of a one-on-one sit-down with whoever was helping facilitate the class. And we were blown away by how many people were signing up to go automated. Here's the good news. If you're like me in the Midwest, and when summer breaks, people lose their mind and they quit coming to church because they haven't felt the sunlight for 6 months, man, for us, we take a 30% drop in attendance when it comes summer. We do it every year. We see 30% attendance drop. You know what we're not seeing is we're not seeing giving drop. And what that does, that frees us up to continue to do what God has called us to do. Even when our attendance is low, people are still being generous with their giving because it's automated, it's set it and forget it. And now if you miss some time because of the summer, we can talk about that. But ultimately, you are still participating in your giving, and they're still coming when they're scheduled to serve. We're still navigating the journey of how to really get them to come weekly, but we find so many people are on vacations during the summer, it's just impossible. So, but what we have discovered with this journey of teaching the giving ladder and then also holding a standard to automated giving to join our family, it has been a game changer. Now, let me give you a few little notes on that. Number one, we don't ask minors to sign up for automated giving. If a minor wants to, which we have several that do, they're 17-year-olds that work, We don't stop them as long as they're parental, they get a parental signature. But we do not require minors to sign up for automated giving if they're going to volunteer. A spouse, obviously one giving counts for both spouses, you know, in a household. People have fixed income. We find that we still talk to them and they sign up. They can still choose to give out of their fixed income. People that don't have a fixed income, let's say they're in real estate or sales, we ask them to think about the last 3 years, how much money they brought in, and set a base that's safe as that tithe, and then whatever comes in above that, text to give it as they close deals and make more money. We have lots of people, especially sales and real estate, that operate that way. They set a base in recurring so they know, hey, no matter what, every year I bring in at least this much. And then whenever they go over, they tend to give through via text to give, that overage so they can say as either a tither or an extravagant giver. We have found, so I'll give you some real numbers on our end. Before we did this, our recurring giving was all in about $70,000 a year of our total budget. Not much. Since we've gone on this journey, our recurring giving has gone up to about $400,000 with $200,000 of new dollars coming in that were not existing dollars before. And right now we are at the point where it is about 50% of our budget that we need to run our properties and our payroll is happening through recurring. So 50 cents on every dollar that we need just to pay the bills is happening because we have automated giving, not just as an option, but as one of the strongest things that we do. Let me give you two more little points and then I'm going to kick it over for questions. The second thing that I really want you to think about out of the two things, I want you to think about this first. Work into your giving talk every weekend if you're going to be adding automated as a strong part of your church. Now our weekend giving numbers are really low because we have more people in automated than we've ever had before. So what we do is we work into our giving talk a thank you to automated givers because of their generosity. We don't single them out, but we thank them so that people are not thinking that nobody is filling out giving envelopes during a Sunday service because so many of them are on automated. We didn't want them to feel guilty during that time, so we thanked them and gave them a big shout-out every single week. Also, when we do our big weekends where I teach the giving ladder, we add a small gift from the staff that if you choose to sign up for automated giving or up your automated giving from what you were before, maybe you're ready to go from a regular giver to a tither, which I'll tell you, once somebody does regular giving for 6 months, let's say $25 a week, and they realize the bottom hasn't fallen out, God is still faithful, they will trust you and go and become a tither as they feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit and your inspiration of teaching on it. They will then make that decision to jump to become a tither because the bottom didn't fall out as a regular giver. We always attach a small thank you gift, a custom coffee mug from our church with some coffee in it, a hoodie from our merch, from our apparel line. We will do a small tangible gift as a thank you, because we are a generous church, and we want to thank you for your generosity. Think about that as your buzzword, your buzz statement. Hey, because of your generosity, we want to be generous to you as a thank you for signing up for recurring or upping your recurring to your next step. It works almost every semester that we do this. We see tons of people either coming for the first time or they're upping theirs because the bottom didn't fall out. Like their fear was, that's why they weren't a consistent giver in the first place. They didn't think they had enough. Also, if somebody gets a ding, let's say, and I mean a ding, that means it gets declined, we have a care system in place, a three-step process to reach out to them, offer one of our care pastors to sit down with them and help them build a budget that's successful and to help them get back on their commitment to be a giver to God's kingdom and help them in that journey. Many of the declines we ever get are because they change their card. We do get some insufficient fund ones. We come up next to those people, and we offer care and love. We encourage them to get back on. Nobody's mad at you. God wants to see you get back up. Proverbs says the righteous man falls down 7 but gets back up 8. Righteousness is defined by getting back up, not staying down. And we are helping people break the spirit of poverty and the lack of discipline that many under 40-year-olds have. We're teaching them discipline in a way that it gives to God first, and now things change because of that in their life, and we see their blessing, and also the church gets to continue to be funded and free to reach more people for Jesus. So that's my talk. I'd love to answer some questions. Chris, what are we thinking?
Awesome. Hey, no, that's phenomenal. I got to tell you, I don't know if everybody else on the line is feeling this way, but I literally have 2.5 pages of notes. We have questions that have come in, some pre-set questions because they knew this, what the subject would be, and then some other questions of people that are just sending through the guy, our guy who's facilitating all of this, sent the questions, etc. So, first question, could you dive into a little bit more about the care system? So someone is automated, and then they get a ding. In other words, their automation doesn't go through. Maybe it's just because their credit card changed. Tell us what happens when that happens. So a report comes in. Kind of walk us through that process.
Yep, I will. So every Monday, my accounting pulls – I'm an advocate of Planning Center because they use Stripe, and Stripe's a very easy merchant service. It's very user-friendly. And so we're able to produce a report with Stripe, which is Planning Center's merchant service that lets us know the dings from the week before. So, you know, the ones that didn't process. Out of the 400 people that are doing it at our church, we'll get 3 or 4 per campus every single week. From that, the campus pastor will get the alert. They'll get the email from accounting. Then they will assign either themselves or if the person serves in kids ministry or if they're in hospitality, kind of who is over care for them already. If no one is, the campus pastor will just assert themselves into the position. So we'll assign the care pastor that's closest to them to speak with them. It is always grace-driven. It is never guilt-driven. It is, hey, and so step one would be a text message. Hey, Chris, I'll just use you as an example. Hey, Chris, love to talk to you this week about some leadership stuff and let you know about some things that are happening with our accounting and with your giving. So we don't want to bait and switch them. We don't want to tell them, like, I just want to get coffee, and then you come alongside and say, well, hey, your giving's not right. And we have a script. Chris, if you, if someone on your team could email me, I will have my team email you the exact script we use to text them the first contact because I don't have it in front of me, and
right.
I want to get it to everybody who wants it. I would they'll send that first little connecting point of a text message. They'll respond back, and then most people want to keep their giving commitment. Some don't, and we can just have to let them go and say, well, listen, we love you. We'll continue to pray for you. If there's anything we can do, we'd love to help you. Most of the people that don't want to keep their giving commitment will not talk to you about it. They'll ignore you. I mean, that's just the truth. But those who want to keep their giving commitment will go, oh, I'm so sorry, or oh, I'm embarrassed. And we say, do not be embarrassed. Accounting and I know about this. This is not a big deal. This is all confidential. We love you, and we want to sit down with you. And we have a small little booklet that just helps them. It's very Dave Ramsey financial piece. It's just a smaller version of that. Why don't we sit down and get coffee, and I'll bring this booklet with me, and they're going to keep the booklet. It's a fill-in-the-blank booklet, and they're going to just write their budget. The person's going to help facilitate this a little bit. We're going to write your budget. We're going to talk about your bills. We're going to talk about what to reduce in debt. It's maybe like a 45-minute coffee conversation. And then we just say, hey, do you want to continue to trust God and continue to do this? What I have instructed my team never to do is we never set an amount to tell them to give. I do not want to stand before God someday and he says, I spoke in my word this amount, but you started telling people they could give a different amount. Now, we know that it's okay for them to start on their journey as a regular giver because God's going to honor their faithfulness, their widow's penny. They're attempting to make it work. But at a certain point, they're responsible to grow up in their faith. I'm not here to say, well, because you've over-budgeted, you don't have to give as much as you've been giving. Now, if they lead that conversation, we'll humbly accept that because that's between them and God. But I do not allow anyone on my team to lead the conversation of why don't you reduce your giving so that you could get out of debt and then on it. That's not between me. My job and my team's job to be a good steward. They keep going, and you know, we help them and encourage them on their.
You're cutting out, Doug. Or you're cutting out a little bit, buddy.
No, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm so sorry.
Before, stay there. No, that's
I am.
Okay.
I'm staying. I haven't moved.
Okay. All right, say that last sentence again. You're just
I just said our job is not to tell people how much to give. That's between them and God. And we're not even here to tell them how much to reduce. That's between them and God if they're struggling with their giving amount. Our job is
right.
just to be their encourager and to help them and to say, don't give up on God. He's not giving up on you. And so, but I will never allow my team, because I don't want to stand before God someday, and he said, you didn't, you told people what they could give and not give, and it wasn't according to my word. I just want to help people on their journey.
Okay.
So be cautious, not set an amount for people.
No, that's great. That's great. Awesome on the care. The next question that came in is, you, just some clarity on, you converted over to, in your version of membership, everybody's got their version of it, whatever, but you
yeah.
told people, hey, if you're going to be a part of this church family, if you're going to be a member or whatever line people use, you're going to have to, you're going to have to give regularly. Did you
yep.
tell people you're going to have to give regularly or tithe regularly at that point?
Give.
In the audience.
So for you to join the church, it's not about tithe. I mean, we love you to tithe. Obviously, we believe that's a biblical principle. But if you're going
right.
to join the family, you've got to be a reoccurring, regular giver. So that could be $25 a month. We'll let you go through that because we know our teaching's going to come alongside every 6 months or so, that we're going to keep encouraging you to take your next step on the ladder. So we just are not going to – here's what I've learned in the 5-6 years we've been a church plant. If I just expect people to give, they usually don't. But if I create clear systems for them to step up and become a giver, they will meet me where I put my standard to be a giver. And my standard is you're going to be an automated giver. Some people don't like it, but we just say, well, this is probably isn't the right church for you. And we're okay with letting those people walk away because we know we have a standard that 90-plus percent of people are jumping on board for, and we're thrilled about it, knowing they're going to contribute at least something. Even my college-age millennials who have no money are contributing something because they have access to money more than you realize.
So, and then of the people that say that, you know what, I don't want to give regularly, do you tell them that, that this is the church, not the church for you, or you just say, well, then at this point, you know, maybe not being a family member at this point is for you. Keep coming
yep.
to the church. We just,
yep.
you know, when you're ready, you're ready.
Hey, keep coming to church. That's great. Keep attending. Join a life group. Join one of our small groups. You don't have to be a member to join a small group. Hey, come to Sunday morning and get in a small group. But if you want to be a part of the family, this is the calling to be a part of the family. And we've had people initially say no in the meeting, leave, and a week to a month later, turn in their application as they thought about it longer. You know, because they're realizing, what am I doing? What is he really asking of me? He's just asking me to be consistent. And this is the way that they view consistency being reality. This is it. Now, we've had some people say, I just can't do this. And this is true. They have given for 6 months and then reapplied. And because they had 6 months of just regular giving, check or cash, we let them through because there's that one clause we have in there. I don't know if I'll have that clause forever, but right now I have that clause because I had so many hundreds of leaders that had to get migrated into the system that I didn't want to lose them all if they all didn't do recurring, you know, new family members. So we
right.
created this clause that if you've had 6 months of consistent giving, we'll let you just keep doing what you've been doing. So that freed up for many people that are like, I don't want to be on automated giving. But here's the thing. We do an audit every quarter where we pull the registration of all of our volunteers and all of our family members. And if you miss 1 month, now there's going to be a conversation about you becoming consistent in your giving. And now we're going to not just ask you to do automated. For you to stay a part of this, we need you to do automated. We need you to do it because you've just proven you couldn't do it without this system being accountable.
Next question that came in, how do you keep it from feeling dictatorship, maybe is not the right word, but
sure.
that was the word that was given, but how do you keep it from being so kind of lording over dictatorship, you know, that type of thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I hear dictatorship, the word that comes to my mind is it's about being a stewardship. And my job is to be the steward of this, what God has invited me to do. and I want to be a good steward of what he's invited me to do. So it might feel heavy-handed. It's, if anything, it's crystal clear. I think people, the Bible says people die for a lack of vision. So from what we do, we feel like we have crystal clear vision. This is what we do. This is how we do it. I learned this from this guy named Chris Thompson. You guys should really check him out because he teaches on real clear vision. And seriously, so for us, we said, this is what we do, and this is how we do it. And I was tired of carrying the weight of the church not being generous and not knowing how to fix it without creating a systematic strategy. So what I did, if you're a sports fan, this will make sense to you. The I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, so pray for me because my team's terrible. But the Green Bay Packers are owned by the city. The city owns them. No owner can be like the owner of the Cleveland Browns a few years ago and sell the team and move. The city owns it, so there's ownership investment in their taxes and what they pay to continue to keep their franchise. I view the churches the same way. You need to have the ownership of the people that go to the church that say, this is my family. So it's really not me necessarily being a dictator. It's me just making a clear vision for you to follow that is an easy buy-in for us to do this. And I really do think people, if you don't be clear, people will fill in the gaps of what clarity is to them. And the problem with that is it might not line up with the vision of how you want your church to roll. And I want to quit worrying about money. I want to focus on reaching more people for Jesus. And so let's create an automated giving budget that allows us to have the freedom to know it's coming in no matter what happens. Especially me, I can get Lake Erie snow. And, dude, I can lose 2 or 3 weeks over snow days and in any given year. I mean, that hurts a lot of us if we're counting on the weekend giving. The world has created a technology. This is out here. Let's use it for the best of our abilities for the kingdom of God so that it's one less stressor in our life as leadership of a church to then reach more people for Jesus. So it is opinionated. It is opinionated. It is kind of direct. But in some ways, I mean, we do that for every other area of our ministry, for so many other things of how we want. Like, I hope that you wouldn't let somebody make up their own policies on what should happen in your kids' ministry. I hope you should be pretty opinionated about the safety and the security of your children. Well, why don't we have something strong like that for how we believe giving should be done as well?
Right. Good. Excellent. Excellent. Next question. We have 4 more questions that have come in, so get ready.
Okay.
Next one. Regarding the thank you, when you say thank you through a hoodie or you say thank you through a coffee mug,
yeah.
How does that play out in practical? Is that a report that you give? You send it to them? How does that play out?
Oh, good. Great question. No, we set up in the lobby that we would do a seat card. We'd do a seat drop, which is a card dropped on every chair. So when people come into church, they pick up that. And the reason we do it as a seat drop is because nobody will sit on a card. This is like a little rabbit trail, but it's good to know. People will physically touch a card when it's on the seat that they're about to sit on. So now you got them to at least touch the card that you put on the chair. So we seat drop it intentionally so everybody touches it at least once. So they pick it up, they look at it, and during the service, my MCs, my hosts, the people that communicate, will give kind of the logistics after I've preached on going on the giving ladder. They'll come up after me and say, so here, if you're ready to do that, fill out that card that's at your seat and walk right out into the lobby, and we have several tables set up with people with their computers or iPads, where they will set you up right on the spot with our Planning Center Stripe merchant service process, how we would do it. And so you would walk right out into the lobby. And the other thing that we are about, we haven't done this yet, so this is only theory, so kind of put a pin on this. In the past, we just let them, if the card went through and it set it up, we just give them the gift. But we find that most of those gifts wouldn't start till next month. We're thinking we're going to have them do the, we're going to give an option on the card that they can start their first gift today. So, like, we could process it today and take a withdrawal today, and then it starts their journey of their giving. In the past, we just set it up for whatever day they wanted it to come out, like weekly, biweekly, monthly, whatever it was. And that would cause us to actually, some people would use that and think that was just their giving, and then they give anything that day. So we're adding a feature where you could start it today if you so choose to. But once your card gets processed and the team that does that says you're good, then we have those gifts ready at the table and we just give you a thank you, here you go. And, you know, it's definitely a call to action. You know, it's like, hey, if you're going to do it right now. and you'll get a gift out of it. You know, and it's a gift. We even say from the platform, we know you don't do this to get a gift, but we just want to say thank you in return for your generosity.
And is that for the people that are signing up for reoccurring and those that are increasing their giving?
Yep. So if they're increasing their recurring, you would get a gift as well, because we view it as a step of generosity.
And do they increase their giving at the iPads that are out in the lobby?
Yep. So the way it works with our system is you can just do it. It's a couple clicks and it's done. You know, and so they can say, I was giving 25 a week. I want to get 50. And then it's like two clicks and number change, and it's like, there you go. Here's your gift. Thank you. Those ones are easier because they're already in the system. So they don't even have to do anything else, really, unless they're changing their card.
And does that happen, the card thing, the giving out of the gift, et cetera, everything we're talking about here, that happens twice a year when you go over the ladder?
Yeah, I do it three times a year, so almost semesterly.
Okay.
So I do it three times a year. So we even craft in a different gift every single time.
And you
so
do
this
it three
fall
times
will
a
be
year.
A hoodie. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But it's three times a year that you bring out the ladder. And you do the same
exact three times a year. I basically
it up,
teach. The ladder teaching is the same. I normally use different scriptures. You know, so I'll use different scriptures in my leading up to it. But then I will open up the ladder, and I will go on the journey to show that visual three times a year. They got their seat drop, and the people are in the lobby. My staff has been praying about it. We fasted. We're believing God that people are going to make spiritual decisions that day that are going to impact not only them, but their generations will follow them, because they're going to be generous givers to God's kingdom. So we don't treat this just as we're getting low on money, so let's do one of these. We carve it into our yearly calendar as a time that we get really serious about God moving. I would borderline throw it out there that this is Easter-like for our staff. This is Easter-like intentionality, because we really believe God wants to do something amazing in people's lives. And Jesus said it best, where your treasure is where your heart is. So let's go after their hearts, because we know that's where their treasure is.
Okay, next question that came in was question came in about the you had mentioned something about mentioning automated every week. You mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
You teach on it three times a year. You teach the ladder. You teach the concept. You give out the card. You give away the gift. Talk about give us just kind of a script of what that would look like on a weekly basis.
So every week, after worship, my hosts come out that are we normally do co-ed hosting. Your guy and girl come out and they will do their connect cards if you have anything like that. You're new, you know, we want to meet you after church. You know, been very normal church stuff. And then when they transition into giving, first of all, every one of our giving talks is always about, we always involve the words thank you, and we always talk about why. So we'll pick anything that's going on. And our church is very busy. There's always, like all of our churches, there's always something going on. And we just say, hey, youth is going here. And you know why they're doing that? It's because of your generosity. And so quick giving talk, and then the script kicks in after the giving talk of there are several ways for you to give here at the church. One way is that you can give through check or cash with your envelopes, and we have giving centers. So we don't even pass buckets. We have giving centers at the doors. You can walk out at the end of our experience and drop that off, and we thank you. A very simple and easy way to give is text to give. The number's on the screen as I'm talking. And we also want to say thank you to all those who give recurringly at our church. What does that mean? They have signed up for automated giving because they want to put God first in their money. See, using that term is like, it almost grabs people's attention because they're like, well, wait a minute. I'm putting God first with my check or my text to give, and maybe you are, but the challenge is there's always that temptation to give a little less when you're not automated, or to hold back a week because you got a surprise bill. True automated giving is going to come out no matter what's going on in your life. So we say we want to thank those who put God first in their giving by setting automated giving. It comes out before anything else, and we just want to thank them from us, and we know that it's making a huge difference in this church. You might notice lots of people that are not doing anything during this giving time. I want you to not judge them. I want you to realize many of them are giving automatically. And it's also giving a pass to new people to not feel guilty if they're not giving. Because we're not here to twist our arm. Paul said it. Don't give if you're getting your arm twisted. So we're almost giving you an out if you don't want to give, and you can just pretend you're one of those automated givers. But in reality, we really want to make sure that every week, you know, I heard this other line from this guy named Chris. The heroes you create and the stories you tell will create the culture you want. I'm probably butchering the quote, but that's close enough. And so we just tell stories of the heroes we want based on what Chris has taught us through Church Boom about, and the heroes we want are people to do automated giving. So we carve out 30 seconds every week just to thank them and say, you're a rock star. Thanks for being who you are for this church.
Excellent. 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 Great stuff. There's two questions that came in, Doug, that are completely off the subject of giving, but people
sure.
on the line know that you're part of it. You're a Church Boom coach. You're a leader, and you're a great pastor, great leader. So totally switching gears here. We're going to talk. We're going to have two
okay.
leadership questions for you. Question okay. number one, we got two more to go, and then we're going to have you pray over these great pastors on this call. Question number one. When it comes to, what are some ways that you, in your church, help volunteers with leadership potential start to lead in an area of ministry? So you see someone that's got leadership potential, they're a volunteer. How do you kind of lift them to that level of leadership? What, is there a process? Is there a mentoring?
Right.
What do you guys do to help someone reach that potential?
I mean, I think you got it. You've got to look back at Jesus. No matter how big your church is, if you're noticing somebody with a leadership potential, I just believe the Holy Spirit, this is my belief, is that he has shown you for a reason. And now you're responsible for the information that you have. So if I notice somebody, or if my team, sometimes my team notices people that I don't notice, and I go, well, God put them in front of you for a reason. Bring them alongside of you, and in an apprentice-like way, show them what you do, encourage them, give them books to read. A big indicator of somebody's truly hungry is if you give them a resource, and they come back and talk to you about it. If you give somebody a book and they don't read it, don't waste your time. I'm just being honest with you. Because they're not as hungry as you hope they would be. Because if they're unwilling, listen, I'm not a great reader. If you know my story, I never even graduated high school. I was expelled my junior year from high school. No high school diploma. But I realized that I wasn't going to make it on my own. And I needed to become a reader because readers are leaders. And even though I don't feel like I'm a great reader and I'm not a strong, my wife can just eat up a book in a day, it might take me 2 weeks, but I'll keep fighting to get that book read because I'm hungry to grow. If somebody doesn't have hunger, they might have all the potential in the world. Do not waste your time on them on potential alone. They've got to show you they're willing to be hungry. The other thing they've got to show you is that they have self-awareness, that they know how they are in front of people. And they're not just like going out there being a crazy person and don't realize the effect it causes. And the final thing you got to look at if you want to really see if somebody can grow is do they have influence? You know, if they're passionate for Jesus or not, there's people that come to my church to get saved and all of a sudden 20 people show up with them. They've got influence. People want to trust what they have to say. So audit some of those things. If you're going to mentor or you're going to develop a young leader, man, are they hungry? Are they self-aware, and do they have influence? And if they can answer those three questions, I promise you, they will develop into a stud leader for you if they keep their hearts right and you continue to just develop them. But give them your life. I've got four or five guys right now that I do my life with, these four or five guys, and two of them are campus pastors for me. One is one of our worship leaders, and the other one is a Bible college graduate from our school who we can't find a place in ministry for, but I know God's got a call for his life. And so it's a big spectrum for me of guys. And a fifth one is a guy who barely comes to our church that I just love, that I know God's got a call in his life. So pick who you're going to pour your life into, but see, are they going to be hungry? Are they going to be self-aware? And do they have influence? Because if they don't have those things, eventually you're going to feel like you're throwing your pearls to swine, like Jesus said.
Yeah, well, that's good. Good. Great thoughts. Last question for you, Doug. It came in. And real practical, just some ideas that you have to keep your church and staff to keep marriage and family in balance. And how do you help make that happen with your team and with the leaders that are close to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's always tricky. You know, there's been this old statement that says, you know, you gotta have a certain rhythm to how you do things. And I do agree that's true. You've got to be intentional about what season of life your team is in. So I'll give you an example. summer we drop big time. I mean, we lose 30% of our church every single summer. It makes me so mad, but I just can't figure out how to break it yet. But then they, in the fall, they all come back and some. And I'm like, well, there we go, you know. In the summer, I used to try to make my team overwork to compensate for the lack of people. I did for years. We would do more stuff in the summer than any other season. And really what was happening, though, is my team was getting fried. So we just realized if the church is going to, for the most part, take off in the summer, maybe we need to reduce what we do by 30% in the summer. Doesn't mean we don't still put out a great morning. Doesn't mean that we still don't have some viable things that are important that only we can do in the summer in the Midwest. But in reality, I maybe need to ease off the gas pedal a little bit and realize and let my team coast in the season, because then when it's in the fall and we're really growing like crazy again, I want them not to be on fumes when we're growing. So recognize the season that you're in and be okay with that. The other thing I want to encourage you about with your team and their marriages is that they don't going to have it for themselves.
Hello?
Or close people around. Can you hear me, Chris?
Yeah, you cut out last sentence. Go. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So we try to do it once a month or a couple times a month if we can, if our calendar allows it. On Friday night, we're staff members and close families in our church just come over our house. We do not have a big house. Our house is not huge, but we do life with them. It's not guru teaching. It's not like I want to tell you guys this announcement. It's just doing life together. And they see me and my family hanging out. They see how we interact at home. They see the goofiness as me as a dad with my kids. We just do life together. There's no expectation. We often either cater it or my wife and I will cook it. Most of the time we cook it because we want to serve them. And we just hang out. And people will stay at our house till 10, 11 o'clock at night on a Friday night that work with us during the week because we're a family. And now I can't do it with everybody, but I can do it with a few to show everyone else this is how it's supposed to be done. So I just want to encourage you, model the behavior you want to see repeated. Model the behavior you want to see repeated in your people, and watch as you model it, they're going to get excited about it. And I know this. I worked on staff at a very large mega church, and we didn't get to hang out with our pastor and his wife very much. And one of the things that we did as we started our church was, you know we can't do it forever with the same people all the time, but we can keep our hearts in a position where we're like, I just want to do life with people. And we just want it to be a family more than it's a, you know, we even say it like this. We want covenant hires more than corporate hires. We just want this to be a family style church, even though we're much bigger now than a family style traditional church would be.
Wow. That's great. Great stuff. Man, that has been absolutely awesome, Doug, your insight to leadership and to keeping things in balance. And then, of course, all the stuff on giving. Guys, everybody, and gals, everybody that's on the call, man, I hope that you've enjoyed as much as I've enjoyed being a part of this today, and listening to the talk about giving. And maybe, if anything, I think the big thing that we can walk away with, everybody on this call, before Doug prays over us, and that is this, is that we have strategy for children's department. We have strategy for how we do weekend services. We have strategy for whatever it is, fill in the blank. But how about our giving strategy? We just kind of take the offering, but where's the strategy? Because it's more than just getting money out of people's pocket. It's bringing them closer to a relationship with Jesus, and giving is part of that. So you guys, there's been so much that has been learned here today. I hope that you walk away with one nugget that you can apply into your ministry. And don't forget, here at churchboom.org, we are always here to help. Visit the site. Reach out to us. That's what we're here for. But with that, I am going to ask you, Doug, if you would be so gracious to finish it out by praying over the great pastors that are on this call.
Very cool. Hey, Father, thank you for this incredible group of men and women. Lord, I don't know everyone on the call. I know even as I've been talking, some of you have been texting me and just encouraging me, so I thank you. Father, I just pray, Lord, that these people would just get this tenacity about being a good steward of your kingdom. God, that whatever they're at, if they're ready to quit, if they're tired, if they're on a high, whatever it is, God, you continue to be their source of strength. God, thank you, Lord, for the giving strategy you gave us. Give every church represented their own giving strategy that works for them to not bring in more in the bottom line, but to help people become fully surrendered Christ followers in their giving. God, thank you, Lord, for our responsibility to pastor your church. We don't deserve it. I know I have not done all the perfect things, but God, I thank you that you have grace for my weakness, and God, that you are doing incredible things in these pastors that are hungry enough on this day to get on a call and just learn a little bit more about what you're doing where we're at in Youngstown, Ohio. Bless them. Give them an incredible Sunday. Let lives be changed because of what they do. In Jesus' name, amen.